You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 371. Brian Kelly had a press conference today, and there were some short interviews done with the new coaches as well. We're going to talk about that, talk about recruiting. But I guess before we do all that, Randall, you're here as well. Anything you wanted to get off your chest, something that you've been dying to share?
Not really. It's been a busy week keeping up with Notre Dame recruiting. So.
Some ups and downs, I'd say so. And we'll get to all that. Real quickly, we do have ads at the beginning of this podcast. And then we have one in the middle somewhere, and then one at the very end. So usually I like to get the middle one out of the way, and so usually we do that towards the first, after the first few minutes of the episode. But I'm just warning you, after that there's no more ads until the very end, which it'll be after our outgoing music. So it's not like content will be interrupted for you. So I just wanted to let you guys know about that. You'll be hearing that right now. All right, so let's jump in and talk about the press conference. The first 10 minutes, it seemed Brian Kelly kept on focusing on leadership and focus on the present was a big theme out of this press conference. And again, apologies for my new sounding voice. Hopefully it doesn't bug anyone too much. But leadership, and he wasn't talking about player leadership, although I think that's important, but he was talking about leadership from the coaches, and he talked about three areas in particular: the new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator, and the strength and conditioning coach. Now, we also got a new special teams coordinator as well, but he didn't really mention that when he was talking about kind of the three points or the three new areas of leadership. And we're going to go through each of the different position groups as well, or the new coaches, and just discuss a little bit about what Brian Kelly said and our thoughts and all of that. So, why do you have anything, just a big picture, you wanted to discuss, Randall, or are you ready to jump in and talk about the different coaches that Brian Kelly mentioned?
Might as well jump in, because the different things I had were mentioned in the press conference, so I'll bring those up as we go through that.
All right. I guess one thing, or there might be a few things I want to mention kind of overall, and Brian Kelly does exit interviews every year with each of the players, so I know sometimes it seems like he's completely out of touch and that he just doesn't get it, or he's not going to make any of the changes. But I do think this year was more, there was probably more of an emphasis put on those exit interviews to see where the guys were at, because I think that there was some lack of continuity or maybe belief or relationship between the players and the coaches. But it's just reassuring to know that, you know, he does check all the boxes, and then he does try to do, I felt assured that, you know, he's trying to do a good job.
Well, it sounded like this year he definitely listened to what the players wanted to, I mean, he listened to what they wanted changed or wanted to be done different.
Okay, and I think, let's talk about that. Let's go there. Strength and conditioning, that was the biggest thing that came back from the players, from the exit interviews, was that they weren't happy with strength and conditioning. And Brian Kelly said that under Longo, I mean, he's under long-term disabilities, but he said he wasn't able to, quote, get in the trenches anymore with the guys. And that's definitely something that Matt Bayless does bring. If you watched any of his interviews that he's done in the past, or seen some of the interviews when he's in a workout or a training room, you definitely see him. He does the exercise, and he pushes himself as hard as he expects the players to push themselves. And he pushes himself very, very hard. And the players, too. And So I think that, yeah, I think that's what you were getting at, Randall, right? As far as, like, this year he seemed to, like, listen more and he did do something about it.
Yeah, well, with Longo, you know, we don't know exactly what's going on there, but one of the things Brian Kelly said, he just couldn't do some of the things with the players that he was able to before. And so maybe that's why, you know, that was definitely one of the things the players mentioned. I mean, obviously the new guys are there, involved, showing them how it's done, and right in the thick of it, and it sounds like Longo wasn't able to do that anymore. And with all this strength and conditioning, you know, Brian Kelly mentioned that, I'm not sure exactly how he worded it, but they helped him out as far as their classes, said they made too many accommodations in their schedule, as far as academics and stuff. And now it's basically, you show up in the morning, we'll get the workouts done, and he said we'll be done by 6 o'clock, 6 a.m. That is,
I thought you said they wouldn't start till 6 a.m.
No, they'll be done by then, so they can get to their classes and whatever.
They have classes at 6:30.
I don't know, but they got to prep for all that.
I'm not sure that's right. I know. I was just listening to it now. He said that they'll be done in time for class, but I thought he said that it's not like they'll start before 6 a.m. Either way, they're going to start early. And they're going to have they need to be there, but they'll be done for the day. They'll be done in time for class.
Yeah. Before it seemed like they kind of did, you know, kind of change the schedule around for a couple of the guys, but no, now they can show up, get it done, and then it's out of the way for the day. And I think that's much better to have it scheduled like that. And it's good to hear that he's, you know, he's making moves as far as the academic things. Obviously, academics is very important at Notre Dame, and sometimes us football fans think it's too important when it comes to the football players. But here he's, you know, he's making changes. He's trying to push his agenda and get things done.
So what can you expect? This is from Matt Bayless when he was asked from Jack Nolan, like, what can fans expect to see different on the field? What will we see differently? He said, you know, you'll see guys bigger, faster. But what I liked best of all, what he said, is that there's going to be great effort on every play. And he did talk a lot about the players do need to buy into it. So it's not like he has a magic wand that he can just tap and all of a sudden all of the players will be in beast mode every single down. But if they buy in, you know, that's what fans will see. And the great effort on every play, I think, was what I hope to see the most. If there is a visible change, obviously there's things like I hope we don't struggle with as many injuries, which last year wasn't as bad, but I hope that it gets better. But the biggest thing I want to see is great effort on every down. There will be the strength and conditioning team will be filled out with a total of 5 guys. Matt Bayless will be leading it. But then they also have the strength and conditioning coach from IMG, and what's his name again?
Balu
Blue.
We'll get it right. We'll get it right one of these days.
But something that he focuses on in particular is speed training and explosiveness, and also together they'll be working on, I forget what the wording is, but basically to help with injuries is looking at if one hamstring is stronger than the other one and just working on the weaknesses to try to avoid or eliminate injuries as much as possible.
They look at, like, the hamstring strength and the quad strength, and, you know, they try to balance that out, because if it's not, you know, there's more of an injury. And I was glad to hear that, because I think that's – I thought that some of the injuries, ACLs, different things like that, is because certain muscles were maybe getting overworked and others weren't, which was putting stress on the – this is my – I have a lot of knowledge about the strength and conditioning. Not really, actually, but that was kind of my – the guys I talked with that are in the gym all the time working out, you know, that's one thing. You can – you know, if it's not evenly – if your muscles aren't balanced out, you know, there's more chance of an injury. That's obviously one thing they look at. And he has a good track record. Last year, 21 of the 22 players at IMG who started the season finished the year without injuries. The one guy did tear his ACL But he'd only been with them for about 3 or 4 weeks, so they didn't have a chance for him to work out like the rest of the players did. So right there's another sign that strength and conditioning does make a difference on ACLs and some of that. I'll admit it does.
I'll admit I didn't think that the strength and conditioning program was a problem, but it clearly was.
And the speed, he said that when he had gotten there at IMG, none of the guys were close to approaching 4.5 in the 40. And at the end of the year, there were 7 guys that were under 4.5.
Wow.
So, you know, he definitely made a difference. And
at each of these hires, let's do, I'll let you finish your thought, but let's do a little bit of pros and cons or, kind of like pros and cons from where we were at before, if there are any pros or cons to go along with it.
Well, the other thing I was going to mention with him was that IMG players travel a lot. They actually traveled more than Notre Dame did last year. So he knows more about, as far as miles, if you add all the miles together. So he knows about guys, when they travel, how to do their workouts and all that. So
their sleep cycles.
Yeah, probably.
It will be a team of 5. David Grimes will still be with the team, including Jake Flint. And then they'll add one more, so they'll have a total of 5. And I think that would be adding 2 more to that group.
No, there's just one more.
There's just one more total.
Because they have Matt Bayless, David Ballou, Jake Flint, and David Grimes, and they'll add the 5th one. Brian Kelly said they're still looking for the 5th
guy. So they had 4 last year.
They had 4. I don't know if they necessarily had 4 last year.
Well, that's what I meant. They're adding 2 more than they had last year. I'm not
wondering. No, it would have been 4 because
Longo.
Jeff Quinn was part of the strength and conditioning.
Okay.
And Jeff Quinn is moving out of that. He's going back to being a senior analyst
for the defense.
Which he did that in 2015. Yeah. And that obviously they had a good year in 2015. So that's a good move there, in my opinion.
Okay, so overall, I think clearly, I don't think there's any cons to this. I think this is all pro. I'm excited about this.
The players seem to be excited. You keep hearing stuff on, if you follow the players at all on social media, they keep talking about the great strength and conditioning program. They're back at school working out. And maybe another thing that might have helped with that is they had more time off because they didn't go to a bowl game. So maybe they're more ready to come back to school and get back into the football mode than maybe they were in past years. They had a bad year. They had off for a while, have a bad taste in their mouth, and they want to get rid of it. And so I think that adds to it as well, having more time off before they had to be here in January.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball, starting with new defensive coordinator Mike Elko. Brian Kelly, and you guys have probably heard this before, but one thing that he liked about Mike was that he finished the last 5 years, the last few at Wake, and then he was at, where was he at before Wake Forest?
Bowling Green.
Okay. But the last 5 years, he finished in the top 40, and takeaways was huge. This right in line with where Clemson, Alabama, and then Wake Forest. So those consistency, and then also taking the ball away were things that really, that Brian Kelly liked about Mike Elko. Not that his name was in fact Mike, which is what I assumed at first.
Well, Brian Kelly said he did, you know, he made a list of things he wants in his defense, and they kept coming back to Mike Elko. It wasn't like they said, let's go after Mike Elko, see what he does. Mike Elko was the guy that was doing the things that they wanted to do. And so they brought him in, and obviously turned out very well. Or so far, we haven't seen it on the field yet, but I have high hopes for it.
One other thing is that Brian Kelly said that at Notre Dame, they can't get 4 guys that can go 3 downs all the time. They have more hybrid type players on the defensive line. And so his belief is that Mike Elko is the guy that can kind of fit his defense to what players they can get and what players they have. Now, I think, sorry, I lost my train of thought a little bit.
Well, it seems like Mike Elko is definitely the type that takes the players and finds roles for them instead of putting the players in certain positions. Like when he was talking about the different positions, like the rover and the dog, I mean, he's got some new terms that he uses for the defense. And it was like the rover, that was a position where he said that there's a lot of guys that are good athletes, but they're not the safeties or they're not a linebacker. They're kind of the in-between. And so this role is created for those guys and to take advantage of their strength. These amazing athletes that should be out in the field, but it's hard to find a specific, you know, they're not a safety and they're not a linebacker, mm-hmm. but they can do that. And some of these other positions too is, you know, it's basically a hybrid defensive lineman or linebacker. So it seems like he's good at finding positions for the players instead of finding players for the positions, you might say.
And I remember what I was going to say. I think a good indicator of Elko being able to kind of take the players Notre Dame has and turn them into really a solid defense, maybe not a top 10 defense, but a very solid defense year in and year out, is that at Wake Forest and definitely at Bowling Green, they weren't getting the kind of athletes, the caliber of recruits with where their defense was playing at. Their defense was playing as if there would have been, you know, five-star talent sprinkled throughout, but it wasn't. It was two- and three-star guys. And so I think that is a very good indicator that we should be optimistic about this defense, for sure. Something that Brian Kelly said is that he's one of the smartest coaches that he's ever – or that he's talked to. And even though he referenced Brian Van Gorder also being really smart, but Mike Elko is a great teacher. And at the end of the day, that's what coaches are doing. They're teaching. If they can't teach what they're trying to do to their players, then it won't be successful. The job won't get done. Brian Kelly said that he's great at looking at an offense and seeing what the strengths and weaknesses are of that offense, and then taking away the strength and attacking that weakness, specifically in protection. He's great at attacking protection. So definitely, I think this is clearly, if we just assume, forget how, when the defense, before Brian Van Gorder was fired, if we'd have Brian Van Gorder there now, or Brian Van Gorder was fired, I know there was a lot of shuffle there, but from Brian Van Gorder to Mike Elko, to me, it's clearly all pros, no cons.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Kelly definitely made the right move here. Everybody's excited about the defense again. It seemed like it would take a while to recover from what's happened, the defense we've had, but I think everybody's feeling good about this defense and excited to see how it'll translate to games this next season.
And for the record, I was not excited or optimistic when Brian Van Gorder, I was maybe optimistic, but I wasn't excited about Brian Van Gorder coming to town after having had Diaco for a few years. So it's not like I'm just jumping on the new coach just because, hey,
you were a Diaco.
The new coach is going to be terrific.
Yeah.
All right, let's stick with the defense and new linebackers coach Clark Lee. Elston moved over to the defensive line, and so Clark Lee is now coaching linebackers, and he has coached with Mike Elko in the past. I don't know if this is the one where I don't know if it's an upgrade. I don't think it's a downgrade, but I'd say it's. I wouldn't. I'm not positive this is going to be a positive move.
I'd say it's an upgrade. We have, it'll be hard to tell because they do use linebackers a lot more in this defense than what Notre Dame did last year. So automatically, whoever would be the coach, I think the linebackers would look better just because they'll be used more. So it might be hard, in my opinion, it'll be hard to judge, you know, if there's an upgrade or not, because they'll be more involved.
Is the rover considered a linebacker?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's a hybrid. I mean, you could... Basically, he plays a 4-2-5. So technically, it's not a linebacker. It's you'd have two linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
But he's done very well with linebackers at the schools he's been at, obviously at Wake Forest, and I think it's a great move. I'm not quite so sure about the defensive line.
Okay, so we don't have a new coach there, but a different at that position, it's a new coach. Mike Elston is now on the defensive line, which he did coach there and under Diaco's defense.
Yeah, and it wasn't like they had outstanding.
Well, they had outstanding. Linemen. Well, the one year they did, they had outstanding talent.
Yeah, that was the thing. They had outstanding talent.
So it remains.
That's my concern on the defense.
The biggest question mark as far as position group to you from a coaching standpoint is it defensive backs, where we've got Todd Light and
Elko is going to be Elko working with the safeties.
Will help with the, yeah, we'll be with the safeties. And then we've got Clark Lee, linebackers, defensive line, Mike Elston. Biggest question mark to do, because defensive backs, that was a big question mark last year as far as it was a hit and miss last year.
Yeah, there's not as many players to work with at defensive backs, but I feel good that I was concerned about Todd Light, the safeties and the cornerbacks last year. It looked like there was quite a bit of confusion out there, so I think it definitely helps that Elko is involved with the safeties. So right now, my biggest concern is the defensive line.
And I'm pretty much there. If it wouldn't be for Elko helping out with the safeties, definitely defensive backs, and in particular safeties, would be my biggest concern. But because he's helping with that and kind of helping with the back end of the defense, my biggest question mark concern is also defensive line.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Elston is still the recruiting coordinator. He's doing that as well. And the thing with all these guys that they hired in is the thing you hear over and over and over is they're good recruiters.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see that with some of the guys that they flipped.
Would you say these new hires, or that Notre Dame coaches in general, are being more active on Twitter than they were last year at this time?
Well, they're allowed to do more than they were. I mean, as far as even retweeting players and contacting, they have more freedom to use social media than they did a year ago.
Okay.
But I do think these coaches are very active. Because
it feels like I'm seeing tweets all the time from
Well, they're allowed to now. They weren't allowed to do a lot of that stuff a year ago.
Okay. All right, let's talk about offense then. Starting at the top, Chip Long, offensive coordinator. And Brian Kelly said that In doing the exit interviews, one thing that he did hear from the players on defense was that they really did like when he was involved over on the defensive side of the ball. And so the only way to do that is if he finds someone to call the plays, which I thought was happening last year. But that was something they definitely wanted to be taken care of. He wanted someone he could hire, and this are Brian Kelly's words, hire someone to call the plays so that he can also be involved instead of just being with the offense, which I do believe was true for the first until Brian Van Gorder was getting fired. I do believe he was primarily, and when I say primarily, I'm talking about 99% of the time or 95% of the time with the offense, and did not have his fingers in the defense. So he said he needed to hire someone that could call offensive plays so he could spend more time.
What I was going to throw in, I think Brian Kelly was involved in the game plan. I still think that Brian Kelly was more involved with the planning of the defense than what a lot of people thought. But as far as being out with the players on a day-to-day basis, interacting with them, no, he was not there.
Well, I don't think he was.
We'll never know.
I mean, I'm sure that there was approval. Hey, Brian McGuire tells, yo, Brian Kelly, Coach Kelly. I think against Texas, we're going to go with about two down linemen, and the rest of them will be defensive backs or undersized linebackers.
Well, you got to remember, Brian Kelly was a defensive coordinator before he was an offensive guy. So,
yeah, but he's the reason he decided to switch to be more on the offense is because he thought that, as a head coach, you need to be where you can, you need to spend time where you can be the most influence as far as in the game. And he thought, definitely, if you have the ball in your hands, you can have a bigger impact.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely a shock to hear Brian Kelly. I mean, we've heard him say this earlier, but to hear Brian Kelly say that he was looking for a play caller, because a lot of times when a coach is on the hot seat and things aren't going good, he takes over play calling. I mean, it's basically he's going to go down his way, running his offense and stuff. He's doing everything he can to try to make things better. And so it was just kind of expected that Brian Kelly would probably take over the play calling this year. But that answers a lot of questions. You know, that we knew that had to be discussed when he was looking for an offensive coordinator, because a guy like Chip Long probably wouldn't have come in if he wouldn't have the freedom to call the plays. But and, he mentioned that he Brian Kelly said he was looking for someone that would call the that would call game through his eyes, basically the same way he does. So
that rings a bell. Like, he was looking up, wasn't there something about he was trying to find an extension of himself in some other element? Do you remember him saying that, specifically saying an extension of himself? I forget what it was about, right, but I thought it was Brian Kelly. But Brian Kelly did say that they're not going to learn a new offense. Chip Long will, anything new, they will learn some new things, do things differently for certain, but it won't be a new offense. One thing that will be a focus will be cleaning up the verbiage, because Chip Long said that, where was it? I can't find it. I'll just try to do it from memory. But basically, they want to, they are a they are a run play action pro style offense that likes to go very, very fast.
Yeah,
and so in order to do that, they need to clean up the verbiage so that they can go faster. Fewer pre-snap reads from the quarterback. And this came up during the season. Brian Kelly, I forget when it came up, that he wishes that the quarterback just would have ran the play instead of maybe changing it all the time, or as much as he did.
Yeah, they'll be able to. He's hoping they'll be able to get the plays in quicker, which will mean more plays. Thing is, we hear Brian Kelly say this every offseason, it's going to be faster this year. So, but this time he did make a move at offensive coordinator, and is showing us how he's going to do that, how to make it faster. And I think it's a good idea. You're going to have a young quarterback, first-year starting quarterback, Brandon Wimbush, and I think it's going to work great.
One thing that we know for sure, because this has come up a couple times now, is that Chip Long, he will use some two tight end sets. He will also be the tight ends coach, so I know we'll see an improvement in tight end production. And one thing that Brian Kelly said is that they do a great job, or Chip does a great job at mixing up with formations. Even on the same drive, they like to mix things up, and that helps create mismatches for the defense.
So when you heard him say that he likes to use running backs late in games and didn't rely heavily on passing when forced to make up ground late in games, does that sound like a Brian Kelly offense or last year?
It doesn't, but again,
he wasn't calling the plays.
I don't think he was calling the plays, do you?
No.
I don't either. I know that was a big point about Chip Long, but I don't think he was calling him last year either.
But hearing him talk about running the ball and not passing so much
was... I think part of that is pandering to fans. Part of it. I do think it's partially true. I don't think he wants to pass it.
I do think it's one thing to say it in a press conference, another thing when you're in the heat of the game and to actually do that. But yeah, it is good to hear that he still talks about running the ball. So,
all right, let's stay on offense then. And wide receivers, Chip Long. So is this, and he's also going to be coaching tight ends. So at tight ends, clearly it's a positive move. But as an offensive coordinator, where we had Den Brock before, and just take Den Brock, forget that he coached wide receivers, because I do believe, yeah, we had great production from our wide receivers, but as a play caller and as an offensive scheme, I think from that standpoint that this is a positive move.
I think so, just because last year it looked like the game plan was great because the first 20 plays of the game worked. And then we went back to this, whatever it was. Let's not dwell on the last. We all know what happened last season. The second half of games.
Be like Brian Kelly and focus on the present.
And it was like if they would have stuck with what they planned before the game started, it would have worked. But the in-game play calling was terrible.
Yeah, and it probably it was a lot of lack of proper adjustments to what the defense did.
Yeah.
So play calling, so we're in agreement then as far as that goes. I think it's going to be a positive move. So on to wide receivers, where Notre Dame has a brand new face there. Dell Alexander, he's a former wide receiver from USC. He was coaching at Arizona State and somewhere else. I forget where it was before Arizona State, but most recently at Arizona State. He is a veteran wide receivers coach, and he impressed Brian Kelly with his detail and organization. So he came in with a plan how he wanted to coach the wide receiver group at Notre Dame, and Brian Kelly was impressed by it. So, Randall, what thoughts on this? And then, do you think this is an upgrade or a downgrade, or pros and cons, however you want to?
I'm not going to say it's an upgrade just because Denbrock did a good job with the receivers. I mean, he took a bunch of young guys last year and, you know, guys that had hardly played, and they had a very good year. A couple of them did. But I do like the fact that he is solely the wide receiver coach. I mean, I'd rather see the offensive coordinator working with the tight ends. I like that scenario more than just because the wide receiver is such a vital part of the game. It's good to see that. So at this point, I'm not going to say it's an upgrade, downgrade. We'll just have to wait and see, because I do think Denbrock did a really good job with the wide receivers.
Yeah, I can't say this is an upgrade until we see what he does, because I do think, yeah, Denbrock did a phenomenal job the last few years with the wide receivers. There was great, great production out of that group.
But we did see some of the players kind of fall off at the end of the year. I mean,
yeah,
CJ Sanders, and then Chris Fink, you know, the last game. There was some inconsistencies at the end of the game.
I was thinking that was more young guys, but you're right. CJ Sanders has been there a few years. Torrey Hunter completely disappeared, but I'm not sure how much of that was him getting dinged up early and then getting married. I'm not sure how much all of that played a role into it.
You're going to blame that all on getting married, huh?
Yeah. All right, are you finished with the wide receivers?
Well, I was going to say some of those moves I think were also done just to try to change things up because of the bad year they were having.
You mean with different personnel?
I mean, yeah, just some of those things. Yeah, definitely have to wait and see how that turns out.
And then another new face on the offensive side of the ball, Tommy Reese, as Brian Kelly still refers to him.
Are you calling him a new face?
New face, well,
for this season.
Yeah, and he is officially a graduate assistant, but Brian Kelly does expect the 10th assistant coach to be approved, and so he will be a coach before fall rolls around.
And when he was first announced, he was announced as Tom Reese when Notre Dame Athletics put that out there. And so everybody, of course, was talking about that. But he was asked about that, and he said, whatever. I mean, it's not a big deal to him. He referred himself as Tommy. So it'll be hard to switch to Tom Reese. He is Tommy Reese. Maybe we can forget the turnover Tommy, but he's still Tommy Reese. You know what? I just thought of it now, but we should have Kyle back just for a special podcast. I haven't talked to him since
his
hiring.
I don't know if you guys remember Kyle, but yes, he was a huge Tommy Reese fan. So what does Tommy Reese bring to the quarterback position? He knows the offense that Brian Kelly likes to run, so... And I know there's a question, is it Brian Kelly's offense? Is it Chip Long's? Well, after today, I think it definitely is. It is Brian Kelly's offense with some nuances and maybe a little bit of a pattern than what we had the previous few years. But it will be very similar. Probably a lot of, you know, 11 personnel, which is one tight end, one running back, three wide receivers. So it'll probably look very similar to what we have seen, running out of the shotgun a lot. So Tommy Reese, one thing he said is that he thinks he brings is that he's experienced pretty much what every quarterback could experience. He's been a starter that struggled and been booed. He's been a backup that's come in and won games and probably felt like he should be the starter. And so he's experienced a lot of things, a lot of ups and downs. So that was one thing he mentioned, that he thinks he can relate to wherever these different guys are back. He can relate to the starter, he can relate to the backup, and I think it's valid.
Yeah, and just, I mean, I think it does make a difference that he was a former player there. I mean, look at Autry Denson and Todd Light. There's just something different about, even when I don't know how much recruiting time Reese will be doing, but there's just something different about it. They've been there. They know Notre Dame.
I do have a concern, though.
Oh, what's that?
I think he'll be great with doing, understanding the offense and knowing what, and helping the quarterbacks know, hey, you need to look for this here, and this is your next check, and why, if the safety does this. I think he'll be great at that stuff. But as far as mechanics, I don't know. I think mechanically, I think there will definitely be a downgrade from where we were at with Mike Sanford. And I do think that mechanics are very important. And I might be wrong. Maybe he will be great at coaching mechanics, because I think that you need to do things well, the little things well.
The inner Tommy Reese had the perfect mechanics. It was his physical body that just couldn't. Well,
and I don't even remember how his mechanics were, if they were off or anything. But again, it's different. Doing it is still different than coaching it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we know that he coached Everett Golson. He helped him on the sideline, but I don't think he helped him with mechanics.
We even talked about when he was the quarterback at Notre Dame, how he would make a good coach. He just wasn't a quarterback.
Yeah. So that's my one concern. But I think he'll be great at helping these guys, assuming he can coach and teach, like we were talking about earlier. Assuming all that, I think he'll be great at understanding the offense and reading the defense. But my concern is fundamentals and mechanics.
Yeah, I have confidence in him, and he knows Brian Kelly. I mean, I'm sure it's very emotional for Brian Kelly to announce Tommy Reese as his quarterback coach.
But to me, this is another one where I wouldn't. This is not clearly an upgrade. I think this is a downgrade until it's proven differently. He's a young coach.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of room to grow.
He did work with San Diego's quarterbacks last year. I don't know if he was trying to, if he was working with the backups or. I don't know. It's hard to see him working with
Philip Rivers,
telling him what to do. But hey. He's been coaching the NFL, so he's not completely new to this.
Brian McGordon was also coaching in the NFL, Randall.
We're trying to stay positive here, Ruben.
All right, did we hit, we didn't talk about special teams yet. And I think that as far as coaches go, I think that that's it for that then. So
they do have, as far as the graduate assistants and analysts, they still want to,
they want to add a few more.
They want to add an offensive graduate assistant, and they want to add a couple of analysts. Jeff Burris is a defensive analyst, and Price Tracy is an offensive analyst, and Brian Kelly said they want to add a couple more. So we'll see how that works. Greg Hudson still doesn't have a role. Brian Kelly said he wants to be part of this staff, but you know they're running out of spots. And so he said Greg Hudson would do anything, you know, based on anything they asked him to, so they're trying to figure out where he fits in. So there's still some of those details. They add a couple guys that a lot of people probably won't even know are part of the staff. But it's good to see them add more analysts and stuff. I mean, that's what – I don't know how many Alabama has. It seems like they have
– And Notre Dame definitely fell behind in that area.
Yeah, and Brian Kelly's comment was he wants to take the HR sign off his door, which he's already done. He's getting more guys do some of that work. And so he has more time to work with the team, which is good.
And, okay, so special teams. Brian Pullian, former head coach at Nevada. Brian Kelly, I talked about him as he'll be in charge of the entire special teams group. And then if they do need him somewhere else, or if he does have some extra time, then he'll help with the offense. But he'll be handling special teams. And another advantage of him is that he can recruit from coast to coast. Now,
all these guys that I'll just quick throw this in there now. All these guys can recruit right now. They're going after guys they want, and they don't necessarily have their territories mapped out. Brian Kelly said they'll do more of that after, probably after signing day on Wednesday, when they start with the 2018 class. Maybe they'll give guys, you know, their territories and how they do all that. But right now, they're just going after guys they want. They're just they're doing whatever they can to get add guys to this recruiting class.
And again, special teams Brian Polian. The first thing that he said he's going to work on this spring is going to be fundamentals. And then as far as results, the first focus is going to be stopping big plays. And then after that, working on creating some big plays. So they were, they had a great return coverage team in 2000 and was it eight? I forget, 2000, I think it was 2008, 2008, maybe it was, exactly. Yeah. But one of the top return coverage teams in the country. So has had some success there. And I think if we do have a full-time special teams coach, that unit should be cleaned up. But again, his focus was on the little things, fundamentals, kicking extra points and stopping big plays.
And I think they already made a good move as far as helping out with some of those mistakes, but we'll talk about it with the recruiting part of it.
All right, so let's do that. Let's talk about recruiting, but I guess there was a few comments that I had missed earlier that I wanted to get from Brian Kelly. One thing that he said was, the changes made, you have to look at yourself. It starts at the top, and you need to look at yourself. And here's a quote from him. There are no bad football teams. There are just poorly led football teams. And I think that he definitely does want to move on, look forward, start working on the present and building for the future. But he did look hard at, you know, at what he had done, and they're definitely going to be changing some things. And you can kind of see it just throughout his press conference when he talked about strength and conditioning and stop making some of those accommodations for the players and telling them this is you have to do this. So that's all I had about that. So let's talk about recruiting. What's the latest, Randall, with that?
Well, Notre Dame's been flipping some guys, guys that are committed elsewhere. The staff has gone out and has been doing a good job impressing these recruits. And they actually got three guys to switch their commitments from other schools to Notre Dame. The first one, was it on Thursday, was Jordan Genmark Heath, defensive back, will probably play safety. He's 6'2", 205. He's, most sites have him as a four-star, and he had visited Notre Dame a week ago, and then he decommitted from Cal, and then after that, he committed the same day he committed to Notre Dame. So he's a guy from Sweden, hasn't played. I mean, he did play football over there, but hasn't played as much football as some of these recruits have, but he's definitely got a lot of talent. He did visit Notre Dame with his family, which is always a good thing. We always say when the family joins the recruit on the visit and they can convince them, that's huge. He liked the academic part of it. And he had actually visited Notre Dame before. When he was a sophomore, he came to Notre Dame, was at a quarterback camp at Notre Dame. He was playing quarterback and was still planning to play quarterback. But obviously he switched positions. So this wasn't his first time at Notre Dame, but he never got an offer from them and had committed to Cal. But then obviously Cal's situation, their head coach, Sonny Dykes, was fired. And so, you know, that obviously played into that as well. And when he got back to Notre Dame and they offered him, he just couldn't resist it. And Mike Elko had a lot to do with this. Helped him, explain to him what position he would play at Notre Dame. Obviously, Elko is going to be working with the safeties. And so it was huge to have, the position coach out there and his defensive coordinator talk to him. And it worked. It paid off. So that was the first one.
And I have a few thoughts on this. Normally, I don't have that much to say about recruiting. But I do think this is a big get for Notre Dame. We need more defensive backs. concern is that if you look, he is a three-star, or you said, yeah, three or four-star, right?
Yeah.
But he wasn't offered by a ton of big-time schools. He was offered by, well, obviously Cal, but then Washington State, Oregon State, Northwestern. And so there weren't, you didn't see USC offer him. You didn't see Stanford offer him, which maybe Stanford, maybe he couldn't have gotten into Stanford. I don't know. So,
well, here's the thing. It comes back to his
potential.
Yeah.
And I agree. He's a raw player. Yeah. I'm very happy with this, but this isn't a surefire guy who's going to contribute.
Oh, I think he's going to be a good football player. I have high hopes for him just because he's obviously, they see that he has a lot of potential.
I do like his size, and
here's the thing. He doesn't have those big offers, and Notre Dame didn't offer until just in the last couple of weeks. And a lot of times, it's either all the big schools or none of them. It's like once one big school offers, then they just start coming in. So
I'm not disappointed. I'm very happy they got this. I'm just not.
But I'm saying if he would have got an offer from Notre Dame this spring, he would have Alabama, Stanford. He would have all those on there.
Okay.
Because a lot of these guys, once one school offers, they start getting the other schools kind of take notice. And I don't know why it is like that. But usually, you know, if you see another big name school offering, there's obviously they see something there. And so you take another look at it. But yeah, I mean, definitely he's going to take some work. But they needed another safety in this class. He's the second one. Then the other commitment was from Jafar Armstrong, wide receiver that had been committed to Missouri. He is from Kansas. And he visited Notre Dame this weekend. And then he visited Minnesota last weekend, which we had talked about last week. It was kind of a sign that he was looking around, that he wasn't sold on Missouri, that he was looking at other options. And so that was definitely good, and they brought him in. He came to visit Notre Dame. Last Wednesday, they actually had Alexander visited him at his school, and then Brian Kelly and Chip Long showed up as well. So obviously you got your position coach, offensive coordinator, and head coach show up at your school. You're obviously wanted. But they explained to him, you know, how he could fit in at Notre Dame. Alexander, you know, told him what he sees, you know, how he would fit in. I don't think I'd mention he's 6'1", 200 pounds, so
decent size
receiver. He's fast. I don't think he's ran track every year, but his junior year he actually won state titles in 100 meter, 200 meter, and the 4x100. And so, obviously, a very fast receiver, and we always like to see that. I mean, we can't get away from Will Fuller's speed. Now we kind of got spoiled with Will Fuller, and now we want speed with all the receivers, but this guy does have speed. So he committed on Sunday, yesterday. And then the other one was a surprise to me, which I think it was a lot of people, was Jonathan Doerr. I'm not sure exactly how to spell his last, I mean, how to say his last name, Doerr. But he is a kicker. And it's kind of surprising that they offered another kicker to a offered him a scholarship, but obviously they have room this year.
Well, you realize why, Randall. He's 6'3". He can play. He can play offense and defense too. He's not just a kicker. There's no 6'3" kicker. I don't think anyway.
Yes, Tyler Newsom is like way over 6 foot.
Well, maybe.
But
I didn't expect a kicker to be that tall. 6'3".
Yes, kickers are tall. Anyways, he was committed to Maryland, and I think he had an offer from Navy as well. Then when Notre Dame offered
Army,
when Notre Dame offered, I think they basically said, you know, if you come visit, Brian Polian was obviously the recruiter here, and basically you come visit, see what we got, we'll give you an offer. So he showed up and He had to. I think he felt kind of bad. He said he felt kind of bad, you know, doing it this late in the game, but you can't turn down a Notre Dame offer.
Sorry, Maryland.
Here's the thing. I mean, you wonder where he fits in. You got Newsom, Justin Yoon, but Justin Yoon does have some injuries. I think, I'm not sure exactly what all it is, but he is recovering from that this summer. So here's another guy that you could have as a backup field goal kicker. I don't think you want
punter?
Kicker.
Uh-oh.
I don't think you want Newsome kicking field goals.
Yeah.
From what we've seen from some of his punts. But his strength is kickoffs, which I think is great, which I think he can come in and help right away. His touchbacks, he has a very high percentage rate on touchbacks, and that is his strength. And so I think he can come in and be the kickoff guy right away. Justin Yoon was obviously doing that, but that's where Notre Dame struggled.
Justin Yoon, and they did switch off a little bit.
On the kickoffs?
Yeah. Well, I forget who else was kicking off, but it was clearly a walk-on.
Yes.
But I don't remember who it was.
Now I'm totally blank right now. But
I agree, because
they wanted somebody else to help with that, obviously.
Yeah.
And one of the weaknesses in the special teams was the kickoff returns.
Yeah, but that, I mean, coverage.
Well, coverage. But if you got a guy that kicks it that has touchbacks,
I know, but
the majority of the time,
I think
that makes a huge difference.
The problem with that wasn't the lack of ability. I think that was designed that way.
Brian, no.
Yeah, Randall, I remember Brian Kelly saying that they're trying to keep them inside 20 yards.
Well, it was obviously a mistake.
Well, it wasn't working, but
well, I think here's a guy that can kick it out of the end zone. So I think he can come in, and I don't know if this is how it'll turn out, but I think he should come in and compete for the kickoffs right away. You have Justin Yoon doing your field goals. And if some of this, his recovery from his injuries, does take some time, here's a guy that can kick field goals as well. He was part of the Chris Saylor kicking school. And Chris Saylor said that his field goal range is 55 and 60 yards. So he does have range with that. But it all comes back, his strength is kickoffs.
All right.
And then another guy that's coming in as a walk-on is Colin Grunhard. And he's actually a teammate of Jafar Armstrong, which he committed to come to Notre Dame earlier as a walk-on. And so people were wondering if this was, part of the deal to get Armstrong. But Grunhard does have a history at Notre Dame. His dad was an offensive lineman, Tim Grunhard, in the 80s. Notre Dame had... I think he would have been on the national championship team, the 88 team. So his dad did come to Notre Dame. He does have a history there, but he was a teammate of Armstrong. Notre Dame did miss out on a couple guys. Evan Fields was obviously a safety they're going after, and earlier today he committed to Arizona State. So he is off the board now. The other one was cornerback Trey Norwood, which was earlier last week. He ended up committing to Oklahoma. And it was right after he had been at Notre Dame for the weekend. The bad thing about this is that it was right after he had been at Notre Dame, and he actually committed to Oklahoma, I think it was the next day. But Kerry Cooks was his recruiter. He committed to Oklahoma, and he hadn't even visited Oklahoma yet.
What?
So coming off a Notre Dame visit, he commits to Oklahoma and hadn't even visited there. So I don't know what all Kerry Cooks was telling him, but he obviously said the right things and got him to commit to Oklahoma. So they did. Notre Dame did have quite a few visitors this week, or this weekend. Jalen Harris is a big one, defensive end, and it seemed like he was going to go to Arizona. Both his parents went to Arizona, but it obviously gave Notre Dame gave him something to think about. And there was rumors that he would maybe commit tonight, but. He might wait till sign day, but he thinks he knows where he'll be going tonight. So we'll just have to wait and see if he tells the world that or not. But I wanted to... Okay, so his mom is on Twitter, and she had tweeted out that it gives her goosebumps seeing my oldest eager to leave home and spread his wings, proud of you. And had a picture of him at Notre Dame in his Notre Dame uniform. So maybe... he wants to get away from under his parents' wings and blaze his own path. But, so obviously he had tweeted this out, a picture, there was pictures of him at Notre Dame, and he said he had a great time on his official visit. Then some guy tweeted him and said, "Didn't you already commit to school? Enjoy freezing your ass off and all the fat chicks in Indiana." And somebody replied, it was like, hard, wow, no
it's
chill.
Hard, it's hard to disagree, though.
And then this guy was like, I'm just confused how this college football recruiting works. And yeah, heifers and Mike Pence, barf. And then his mom saw this and just said, your opinion probably matters, but not in this instance. Keep your profanity and rude comments off my son's page. And he just said, my apologies, I didn't mean to offend, tongue in cheek. So it kind of came back to Biden, but it's just ridiculous. Like, it just...
I'm sure there's
we see
been,
this over and over.
I'm sure there's been much more
and
obscene.
Jafar
obscene
Armstrong
things
got commented. A lot from Missouri fans. You know, he had retweeted one and said, hope you don't make a common mistake. You've lied to several people. What comes around goes around, and yes, yours is coming.
What?
Jafar right. Armstrong just said, may the Lord Jesus Christ take all that hate out of your heart. Replace it with love, my friend. So good response, but that's what's happening with the recruits. So.
Oh, wow.
But there's still some other guys, excuse me, there's still some other guys that did visit, that Notre Dame is still in the running for. Athlete Craig Yeast, obviously from Notre Dame, he's staying quiet on what he's going to do. People can't.
From where?
He's from Indiana, but he's not doing interviews. He's committed to Louisville, so it's hard to tell. Nobody really knows what's going on with him because he isn't doing interviews with anybody. But obviously, an in-state guy. Oliver Martin, wide receiver, he ended up visiting Michigan this last weekend, and supposedly when the one guy from Michigan that had talked to Jim Harbaugh about it, and Jim Harbaugh just said 30 minutes before he hadn't even known he was going to come to Notre Dame. So it was kind of a last-minute visit. I think he had tried that Ohio State week before. So kind of a weird recruiting. I don't really feel that Notre Dame has much of a chance with that one. Kofi Wardlow, defensive end. I don't know. It looks like he might stay with he visited Virginia Tech. It doesn't look good.
He still committed though to Maryland?
Yeah, I think so.
But is the general thinking that he will be going to Maryland or he'll be going somewhere else? But just
it'll
not...
it'll probably be between Maryland and Virginia Tech. That's where it'll come down to.
Okay.
Then you get into the weird names: Myron Amosa,
Taga.
He visited during the week. Yeah. Tagovailoa.
He's the defensive end from Hawaii.
Yeah, and USC had kind of been the leader there, but Notre Dame definitely, he liked it, and it definitely gave him something to think about. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. I mean, it's down to USC and Notre Dame with that one. Then you got Jeremiah Asuwa-Karamoa. He had visited Michigan State, and he basically said Michigan State. It's down to Michigan State and Notre Dame.
And he's a linebacker from Virginia.
Yes. So those are kind of the guys that are still out there. Signing day is Wednesday, so we got two more days.
Okay, so we're away. Notre Dame's total commitments now is at 18.
Yes.
And when we were at 15, we had said that we think they'll get three more, right?
On the podcast last week, I said three. The next day on the forums, we kind of had a little contest. Some of us predicted how many we get, and I said I'm going to go with four,
okay,
with a total of 19. So, with my prediction, Notre Dame gets one more.
Well,
this kicker kind of threw
a
wrench in the gears because he's kind of a bum. I was not expecting that one.
That is true. That is true. So if Notre Dame does pick up another recruit, almost, yeah. Either way, I think it'd be great to pick up one of those defensive linemen. Yeah, we'll just wait and see. All right, anything else, Randall, before we wrap this up?
I'll just throw Max Redfield did go to school and got his other credit. I'm not sure how it all works, but he did get his credits so that he can get his degree from Notre Dame through a different school. I think he only needed like two more credits. And I think he's playing, let me check real quick. Sorry, I was trying to text somebody real quick. He said, upon completion of two courses at Cal State Fullerton, my degree will be complete at the University of Notre Dame. Then I'll be transferring to another university to play my last year of college football and then get drafted in the NFL. After getting drafted, I'll pursue careers in real estate and as well as opening my own foundation in environmental restoration and international business will also be a focus of mine after my career in football has ceased. So he's completed his two courses. He's getting his degree from Notre Dame, and he's planning to play one more year of college football before trying for the NFL.
Okay. The article I had read, he wasn't ready to say what schools he was interested in or were interested in him. So it's still unclear if he's going to go junior college or if he's going to be playing for a major Division I program.
I don't know what his plans are. We'll keep you updated.
I'm positive that if it would work, I'm positive a Division I program would definitely be interested in what he has to offer. So I expect he'll end up somewhere like that, but it could be maybe some small unknown school. All right, that's all that we've got, Randall. Or that's all I've got. Anything else from you, Randall, before we close this?
I think that's it.
All right, thank you guys for listening. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.